morning, everyone. I'd like to now look at some scripture. So for a few moments, we're going to look at Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 53. These words follow on directly after the passage that we looked at last Sunday. And this passage in my Bible, I'm looking at using the New International Version, as we normally do. And in my Bible, it's headed, Jesus appears to his disciples. While they were still talking about this, remember, this is Jesus. They're talking about the two men who had seen and met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They have run back to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 disciples assembled together, and they run in and say, because the other disciples are all saying, Jesus is risen. Simon Peter has seen him. And these two disciples who met him on the road to Emmaus, they run into the room as well, and they tell what's happened, how they recognized Jesus when he broke the bread with them. The next verse says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen. Have you ever noticed how, on occasions, we human beings need time for a new reality to properly set in? I don't know about you, but when we were told on Tuesday the 24th of March that we were going to be locked down probably for 3 months, I don't think I properly took it in. I do remember thinking to myself, if this is going to happen, I should probably go to Decathlon and buy myself some equipment so that I can continue with my gym routine. But I didn't do it. I reckon there would still be at least a few days after the lockdown happened, when shops would still be open and I'd be able to buy what I needed then. But as we all know, that wasn't the case. Lockdown meant lockdown. Fortunately, I've been able to use some equipment from one of my sons, and then I've found some bits and bobs from the house and the garden that I've used in different ways to put together a fitness routine. But my point is this. I didn't take it seriously, this new reality. I thought it wouldn't be as extreme as it has proved to be. And it often takes a while for a new reality to sink in with us. And I think this is the case with the disciples in this passage. by the beginning of today's reading, Luke has described earlier in chapter 24 various things that the risen Christ has done. He's described that angels have told some of the women followers that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead in verses 5 to 7 of this chapter. He has also described the way that the risen Christ Jesus appeared to two male followers on the road to Emmaus in verses 13 to 32. And he gives us a tantalizing reference to an appearance to Simon Peter in verse 34 that we know nothing else about. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? Jesus appeared to Simon Peter, but we don't know anything about it. Despite all this evidence that Jesus was no longer dead, look at how the disciples react in verse 37 of our reading this morning, when Jesus appears among them. Luke tells us they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. But this encounter with the risen Christ is the tipping point, because from here on in, these followers of Jesus are full of confidence and faith. What made this encounter so life-changing and so faith-changing for them? Well, I'd like to suggest that firstly, the risen Christ showed these fear-filled disciples that they could be confident in the evidence. Confident in the evidence. Notice how in verses 39 to 43, he led them step by step through the reality that he really was alive. He started by saying, "Look at my hands and my feet," and then said, "Touch me." In effect, he was saying, "Feel my flesh and my bones. I'm not just a ghost." Because they were still struggling to believe, he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And then he ate some fish in their presence. He was doing all that he could to convince them, "I am here in flesh and blood before you, with you." Up until this point, the disciples had been living in fear of the Jewish and the Roman authorities. They'd been hiding behind locked doors. But from now on, these same disciples would be prepared to die rather than deny that Jesus Christ had risen. This transformation in their mindset is one of the reasons we can be confident in the evidence for the risen Christ. The Lord, in his resurrected body, also showed them that they could be confident in their heritage. Confident in their heritage. He told the disciples in verse 44 that he is the fulfillment of the promises made in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. This phrase, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, is the way that the Jews divided up what we call the Old Testament. So in effect, Christ is saying here that he is the focus, he is the hope. He is the light in the darkness that is promised across all of the Jewish holy writings. He was also telling them that they were a part of God's eternal plan of salvation when he said in verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." He's including them. He's saying, "This involves you as well. You are called to be witnesses to what you have seen and heard." And I'd like to say to you that we each have a part to play in God's plans and purposes, even during this time of lockdown and physical restriction upon us. Early this week, I was informed about a really awful and depressing situation for a family that I know. They were being treated appallingly and had been physically separated. But I've been privileged this week to see God's hand at work in that situation, so that now, although there are still challenges to be overcome, the people mistreating this family have been exposed, and the family is now reunited as one. One of the most inspiring things to me about these recent events is how different people were invited by God to be obedient in performing various roles. A number of people had been faithful in supporting, encouraging, and praying for this family. One person was asked to show hospitality and compassion in a very difficult situation. I was able to provide some practical support and advice. And one person in the family concerned had to show immense courage in speaking out the truth in very difficult circumstances. But yet we have seen God's intervention in this situation. I believe we are all spiritually connected through God's grace, and therefore we all have a role to fulfill in seeing God's plans come about. So I'd say to you, if you have opportunity to show love, to share a word of encouragement with someone, do so. If you have an opportunity just to live out the love of Christ, even in these restricted days, take that opportunity. I know that so many of you do, as I'm in contact with you during these difficult times. But finally, the risen Lord Jesus showed the disciples they could be confident not just in the evidence for his resurrection, not just confident in their own heritage that they read in the Old Testament and recognized how they were part of that heritage, but also the risen Lord showed these disciples they could be confident in the power of the Holy Spirit with them now. He told them that his Father in heaven had promised them a gift. And we often read about this gift in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And I just want to pick out a couple of the verses from that passage where God says, "Afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." And the end of that chapter passage says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." God's Spirit empowered the disciples to carry the good news of Jesus Christ across the known world within their lifetime. Imagine it. These disciples, not just the 12, but an extended group beyond the 12, but they carried the message of the freedom and joy of Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour. They carried it across the known world within their lifetime. An amazing feat. Well, his Spirit is also available and at work in us. And he invites us to work with him, to see his kingdom come in our lives and in our relationships. Let's just share the Lord's Prayer. Well, I'll share a prayer and then we'll finish off with the Lord's Prayer at the end of our time sharing together. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we just thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that you are the one who is still with us through the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives and in our world. We notice that we have to live in this restricted environment today, and having had now 5+ weeks of being in lockdown, that it is a frustration and a bore, frankly. And yet I believe you are asking us and calling us to then value and recognise the small things in life. Perhaps a flower that we may see in the garden or in a plant pot, to recognise its beauty and its perfection and its existence that in its own way gives glory to you, Lord God. And we recognise also that we are called to value relationships in these times. These are relationships that we can't have physically at the moment, and yet how important it is that we connect virtually and support and encourage each other in these days. Lord God, I pray that we will know and sense your Holy Spirit with us in our daily lives. We just pray right now, Lord, that you'll continue to be with us this week, and that we will do all we can to live out what it means that your kingdom should come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's share the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.